Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, are you healthy? Are you good? How are you doing? What's going down?
Chrissy, no. Spoilers. Full well, I'm not healthy. I am. I've got COVID again, Chris. My second dose. I went to a very polite dinner party over the weekend, and everyone got COVID, and so I am now riddled with it again. So, I mean, it seems to be a little bit more pleasant this time round. So, hopefully, I won't be knocked out. Hopefully, I won't have to play loads of video games in my bedroom by myself again. Oh, that would be gutting, wouldn't it? Not doing any work for 5 days. Oh, rubbish!
You've had it three times by my count now, haven't you? I've had every single variant.
I want to collect them all, like you and Charlotte with those manhole covers. I want to collect them all like Pokemon.
Well, I don't think I've had COVID once yet. I don't know. I seem to have withstood it. Or maybe I've got it without knowing. I don't know. But I do know a lot of people that have got it at the moment. It's spreading across Japan like wildfire. But fortunately, it doesn't seem as bad. And you seem to be all right. You seem to be... You look very red on the screen. I don't know if that's just lights.
I think I'm not very good at my disco lighting, because when I moved into my new house, I've got a cabin down in the garden, and I said, right, I'm going to set up a studio. So soundproofed it, put a couple of walls up with a lot of timber and plasterboard and stuff. And so I've got this nice little studio, but the problem is I'm not very good at lighting. And we've talked before about me doing Twitch, Chris.
Do it.
Now,
I
did a bit of Twitch last Friday, late afternoon. I don't know why, but my OBS, the software that allows you to do a little bit of Twitch broadcasting, my OBS system was connected to the Football Ramble Twitch account. Not my own Twitch account, but the Football Ramble Twitch account. I didn't realise that. I accidentally pressed a button that sent me live to a good amount of people. 15 concurrents, or whatever they call them, 15 people watching, and they all watched me read out my credit card details last Friday.
Oh my God.
The week of the life of Pete Donaldson. I was on the phone to British Airways, and I was like, oh, right, my credit card number is this, and then somebody DM'd me very kindly and said, Pete, you do realise you've just gone on live on the Football Ramble Twitch channel and told everyone your credit card number.
Jesus, Pete. I'm going to go and watch that now and steal your credit card info. I've always wanted to do. What a week you've had, bloody hell. The ups and downs of Pete Donaldson. I'm excited that your journey to becoming a Twitcher or Twitch streamer, whatever it's called, has begun. With the ranks of Sea Dog VA and the other Pete. When Pete comes up to my studio, we sometimes stream on his Twitch on OBS. And I think I logged into his OBS once with all his settings, and I nearly started streaming as Pete.
Broadcasting.
Yeah. You've got to be careful with OBS. It's a little bit cheeky.
Yeah.
I mean, my week has been not as action-packed as that. Actually, maybe it has. Maybe it has. We've just had the video go out with the most expensive hotel room in all of Tokyo, $12,000 a night. There's me in the most luxurious hotel room while you've got COVID and you've doxed yourself and given your credit card details out.
Yeah,
I feel pretty.
It's not been a stellar week, to be honest. I did book my. Hotel room was ridiculous. It's the sort of hotel room that is so big. You're like, well, you have to stay there for more than a week because it would take you that long to fill up the cupboards, put all your coats on the coat hangers. The place is massive. You'd need like an entourage to kind of fill it.
It was crazy. It's pretty cool going into a hotel room of that size because you just keep going through like different rooms and there's like a surprise around every corner. Like, I feel like we didn't even show some of the room. There was like two sinks and Connor and I each had a sort of his and her sink that we could use. And it was just such a crazy room. The view, easily the best view I've had from a Tokyo hotel room. My only criticism, I think, is the bath should have been by the window. So you could sit in the bath and overlook Tokyo, but you can't have it all. But $12,000 for that.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was
that.
Yeah, I mean, $12,000, as much room as you can imagine. There's like, it's like the whole there's the whole roof of a hotel, it felt like. Beautiful views of the Tokyo Tower and Roppongi, bless like that. But why did you both choose to sleep in the same bedroom? I mean, I presume there would be another bedroom somewhere.
Well, there was only one bedroom. There was only one bedroom with two, like, super... I think there were super king-size beds.
Right.
Super king. it was a weird room, actually. You could only have... I think there was a rule that you could only have, like, three people in it. There's, like, a limit. And you could only have three people in the room. For some sort of strange Tokyo law that means you could only have a certain number of people sleeping in a room.
Right.
So even though it was one bedroom with two massive beds, I think you can only have three people in there.
I guess because it safeguards the amount of money that you're spending, so you couldn't. It doesn't mean that you're that you just have a room full of 20 people and everyone pays like a grand or something like that.
Exactly. There's like rules as well. We weren't allowed to throw a party in the suite. There was like rules against it because you know that's the first thing you would want to do probably. You're gonna ring up your friends, get them to come to the room, drink all the alcohol, the massive amounts of complimentary drinks, and just trash the room, smash the window, jump out the window,
steal the Nescafe pods, and then out into the night, like Sea Dog Vieira did.
He took it all. He even took the shampoo. Absolute bastard. I went to like wash my hair, and all the like toiletries and all the shampoo and all the soap, it was gone in his rucksack. What a little rascal!
Hey, that hair does not. Look after itself. You got work. You got preen.
Oh dear! They said that the room, it's not. I think it was used mainly by like really rich millionaire billionaire people. They said somebody stayed in the room for like a month though.
Really?
I think it was a Russian oligarch might have stayed in there like a whole month with the family and whatnot, but. For the most part, it was a bit overkill. I certainly could never justify that kind of money on a hotel room. What I could justify that kind of money in is on this. Look at this, Pete. And look at this.
What is that?
This like is a new toy.
Big chunk. Is that a red camera? Now, Chris, we've talked about this. I bought myself a very old red camera.
Did you know?
It was a good few grand, and it was, I think, the first red camera that came out, Red One or whatever. But that is a very expensive but very cool, very light, lighter than the one that I bought is anyway. Red camera, you've got a red camera, Chris.
Got a red camera.
You made promises about your what you're going to be doing with your channel this year. You're going to be more filmic. Be more filmy, and you've bought yourself a film camera. Lovely.
I've got a lot of cameras for doing YouTube videos, but I needed something that was a bit more kind of cinematic to elevate myself. And so I bought a Red Komodo 6K. It's a really great camera. It's got a very nice cinematic look. I won't bore you guys with all the details, but they think they used it in the recent Matrix film. Actually, it was used extensively in that. But, it's a really nice camera. Most cinema cameras, right, a proper cinema camera, an Arri Alexa, would cost, somewhere between $35,000 to $50,000, probably upwards of that. and then you've got all the lenses and whatnot. Red released this Komodo camera. It costs about $6,000 to $7,000, maybe $6,000. So it's not cheap. Or it's, you know, it's half a night in the most expensive Tokyo hotel room, isn't it?
Well, so, look, I mean, for those people who are watching your videos and subscribing to your Patreon and stuff, you're reinvesting. You're not resting on your laurels. You're not sort of taking people's money and running. You are reinvesting in the channel. And and good God, I know how expensive those bloody lenses are. Just to have a proper cinema lens, it elevates how expensive the lenses are, isn't it? And all of the weird Absolutely. Fittings and stuff. Wow.
It's not... You've made me feel a lot better about myself now, the way you just described it. I'm giving back to the people, Pete, yeah.
You are.
I'm not buying myself a toy. I this is, like, money well spent. I think, you know, I've earned I don't buy myself anything really fun often.
Mm.
It's usually... Whenever I buy something big or expensive, it's always related to YouTube, and this fits the
bill.
Have
you taken it out for a... For a test ride? Have you got any test footage you can chuck over? I wouldn't mind.
You know what? I don't, because I didn't come with any batteries. $6,000 cinema camera doesn't come with batteries. Brilliant. Thank you, Red. Bastards. So I've had to order some, like, special Canon batteries, which don't even exist in stock in any bloody... I've been going around all of Japan at the moment looking for batteries to fit my new camera, and they're like, they just don't exist at the moment. I don't know what's going on. So my it's been, like, raining on my parade. This has been a disaster.
Sorry, Christopher.
But hopefully I'll get some batteries soon. Hopefully I can enjoy my wonderful new camera. But yeah, Red Komodo, guys, check it out. It's a good camera. And hopefully we can film some good stuff on it. I wish I'd had it for the Ken Watanabe documentary. It would have been pretty cool for that. Oh, well. We've got a story this week. We've got a story from Nick from Toronto. And it begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete, long-term listener from Trinidad and Tobago, currently residing in Toronto. Back in 2018, I visited Japan on a lads trip, which took us through the Kansai region as far north as Gifu in central Japan. During this trip, we spent 4 days in Tokyo, which we hurriedly booked, not researching the area properly. We were not surprised to find out that the reasonably priced... reasonably priced Airbnb that was advertised as being close to Ueno Park and Asakusa was quite possibly in the most sketchiest part of town. Our closest transportation hub was Ugui... I can't even pronounce this. I've never heard of this station. Ugui Sudani Station, which is home to the red light district in Tokyo and a cluster of various love hotels. I think this is an area kind of round the back of Asakusa, perhaps. Nick continues, "My mates and I disregarded this and comfortably settled into our Airbnb. On our first night out, we wandered through the side streets to find a bar or a place to grab a quick meal. My friends and I mistakenly walked into a place of business that from the outside looked like an izakaya, but was actually some sort of catalogue room where you can pick your company for the night. Oh, God. From a bunch of strategically placed digital touchscreens. We quickly made our way out of there as a man from behind this main room emerged, probably asking if we needed assistance. Giving up on places in the area, we started walking back to Ugui Sudani Station with plans to head to Shibuya for the evening. Here we met a large commotion with two quite larger men being the centre of the attention. These two men were tattooed up to their necks and dressed in vests that also displayed their impressive sleeved up arms. They were just... a bit ahead of us, casually walking towards the station with about, and this isn't a lie, no less than 20 or so police officers blaring their whistles in an attempt to stop them from going any further. The men continued on, as if the police officers didn't exist, and completely ignored them. We didn't stick around, fortunately, to see what ensued as we erred on the cautious side and bounced. I'm not sure if either of you two have experienced something similar. Are police relatively hands-off, or is there legislation that prevents them from using force to stop or apprehend someone? Cheers, guys. Nick from Trinidad and Tobago in Toronto." I mean, the tactic here, when there's, like, crime in Japan, the tactic is to swarm the person with, like, 20 police officers. I remember the first time I saw this, I was in Osaka, I was on a holiday, and I saw one guy, I don't know what he'd done, but he was just standing on a street corner, and there was at least 12, maybe 15 police officers just standing around him, encircling him. And it's like a tactic, they swarm people here. I don't know why that is. Maybe safety in numbers. Maybe because police here just don't have much to do. They're just bored. But
a lot of personnel for the amount of crime that's going around a major city, weirdly.
Exactly. But I don't know. It's a story there. Not really any key takeaways. Mainly just paints a very bleak picture of Ugui Sidani Station. Is this a real station? That sounds really...
Yeah, I had a look. It's near Ueno. It's near that, I think. Not a million miles away from... It's on the other side of the Yamanote line, I think, heading towards Ueno Station and Nippori and a couple of other places.
It is. I think this area is kind of like notorious for I'm not sure. It's notorious for all sorts of activities, some of which Nick listed. But, this is back in 2018. I think Tokyo's changed a lot since then. Even in, the last sort of 5 years, Tokyo's really cleaned up its act. But
I think with a lot of... We spoke about this before, and obviously you can't get in Japan. We keep on saying it every week. We are... If you sort of check your... I think anywhere in a major city, in a popular tourist destination where hotel rooms are very expensive, it's worth double and triple checking exactly where your Airbnb is, because certainly in the sort of Shinjuku, Shibuya, even like over where we are here, they'll say that your Airbnb is in a certain place, and then when you actually go and get the address, it's like three stops up the line and miles away and not good enough, quite frankly.
Yeah, 5 minutes from the station, in a red light district surrounded by Yakuza. They leave the second part out of the description, don't they? But that neighbourhood, be careful. There's the Asakusa Festival, and the Yakuza come out in full force for that. They're a big part of the festivities, and... in a good way, I guess, but be careful, look it up, be careful, but be very careful, even more careful, if you come to Japan and eat something called mochi rice cakes. Now, every year in Japan, a lot of people, more people than would be good, die eating rice cakes, these very chewy kind of desserts that are typically sort of consumed around New Year's. Pete, have you read the news story? Have you got the latest?
Yeah, this happens every single blooming year, doesn't it? All people find it hard to chew and swallow the mochi, and it's the sort of thing that when it's sort of dried out a little bit, once it meets a lot of moisture again halfway down your throat, it starts to expand, and it's not ideal. It's really difficult, and also, you got to be careful with rice at the best of times. There's plenty of issues with eating mashed up rice, but I blooming love mochi. But it's just funny. Well, it's not funny. It's tragic that so many people manage to die or go to hospital every single year around about the same time. Happy New Year, everyone! You've eaten too much mochi. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I mean, even I've choked, like nearly choked to death on these damn things. I like them. They're quite nice. They come with like black beans and sweets inside them. And there's very famous footage of in Nara. They get the rice cake and they have a guy who... One of the guys like moves the rice cake with his hands, and the other guy smacks it with a really big hammer. And they time it just so the guy's hands move out of the way of the hammer, like a split second before it comes crushing down on the rice cake. It's quite a sight to see, particularly in Nara. But dark side to this wonderful dessert, and that is a few people do die every year. And they tend to they release a news story about it every year, sort of tracking the number of people. And this year, 19 people, over New Year's, 19 people were hospitalised and 4 people actually died eating mochi. Like, it's ridiculous, but it's not a surprise. Like, if a guy aged 31 who eats food a lot more than most people, a lot more than I'd care to admit, I guzzle food. And I struggle to eat this damn mochi, then I dread to think what it must be like for someone who's over 70 trying to chew and consume this stuff. It's deadly. It's like it's been designed to actually kill people and cull the population. Why would they eat it? It's not worth the risk.
But the thing about mochi is, like, the actual rice, the pounded, compounded sort of stringy, not stringy, sort of bouncy rice, it's kind of, it doesn't really taste of anything. The rice bit doesn't really taste of anything, but it's a beautiful kind of mouthfeel that you don't ever get anywhere else. It's not quite toffee, it's not quite taffy, it's not quite, it's weird. It's a weird, tasteless sensation next to the sweet mandarin or the beans or whatever the hell they hide in those blooming things. I like them.
I mean, it's good, but there's no doubt this is probably Japan's most dangerous food.
Yes. Like
it is, isn't it? Like, I've had pufferfish, blowfish, and that, if you eat that and it's not been prepared correctly, you'll be paralysed and you'll die a very slow, painful death. But fortunately, everyone does prepare it correctly. I don't think there's been a death from fugu in years, apart from people who catch it and try and prepare it without any, like, knowledge. Mm. Like, if I tried to prepare a fugu, that's not a dinner you want to be a part of. But other than that, you know, food in Japan is pretty safe. It's just mochi.
I've seen you kill a man with a bolognese.
Did you say terrible. Bolognese? Bolognese.
Bolognese.
I don't know. I think mochi is up there. It is a dangerous thing. If my elderly relatives ever come to Japan, which I don't know if that's going to happen, anyone, I'm not letting them anywhere near the stuff. No chance. I think it should be banned. People over 75 should be banned from eating mochi for their own sake. It's the sort of food that would come with a health and safety warning if it was served in the UK. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the fax machine in just a moment.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan. This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is it's the kind of thing I have to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Three short and sweet emails from Ken Whitehurst kicking us off. Hello, Chris, San, and Pete Cunn, and greetings from Virginia Beach, Virginia, USA. I heard Chris mention in a recent episode that there are some things like the wind phone that he's not covered in his videos because he doesn't believe he's the right man for the job. I wonder what other interesting sites or events Chris has avoided covering for this reason. Ken wants to know which places, Chris, you've just went, you know what? This isn't for me. I don't have the gravitas. I do not have the mournful, respectful tone required to cover this site.
Well, I mean, that's a rare example. The wind phone, that's the phone where you can ring up for your passed away relatives along the coastline that got hit by the tsunami. I nearly went there, actually, 2 days ago, but it's pretty far away. It's pretty isolated. Mm. I think, for me, covering, like, pop culture stuff like maid cafes or snack bars or hostess bars, it's never really been on my radar. I don't know why. Certainly maid cafes, like, that's something that's been requested a staggering amount over the years, and the idea of me just going to a maid cafe, is nothing about that excites me. I know I'd get really agitated and irritated very quickly because just the whole weirdness of it all. It's not really for me.
Aroused.
Very excited. Far from it. That's
very
a CWA
excited.
Video.
You just get too excited. You just blurt out the wrong thing. Do you want to get married? The heck?
I leave the pop culture. What's going
pop
on today?
Pop culture.
What the fuck is wrong with me? What the fuck?
You can't say pop culture. You're
Jesus
not going to hear
Christ.
It on the edit, but you couldn't start the show properly. What is going on, Chris? You're usually a lot more tired and a lot better.
I know what it is. I know why. It's because I went to bed at 4 a.m. because I was editing.
Chris, go to bed at a reasonable hour. Sort yourself out. You're just on jet lag time all the time.
It's not good, is it? Once in a while, there's a podcast we have to write off because I haven't slept the night before. And this is that podcast. We've got a question from John Cruz. That's a cool one. John Cruz from Canada.
Good name.
He says, dear Swag Lord Pete and Based Chris. What does that mean? Based Chris?
I always forget whether based means you're... Oh, God. Based means you're on board with something or not on board with something, and I always get it wrong, and I feel very old, but even the people who use the word based will probably admit that they're probably quite old too.
I don't know all these quirky terminologies. Mm. Like, what's this Sigma? All the trash taste guys refer to a guy as a Sigma male. What's that? Why don't I know what that is?
Oh, is that the guy with the big chin? Because there's alpha male, what's the third letter of the
Greek? Beta. Sigma.
Yeah, where's Sigma then? I don't know, is that the guy who's like got the big chin? Got the big kind of...
Probably.
Isn't it like the uber alpha male kind of thing? It's like alpha male but more, like kind of...
Yeah, I think that's what it means, but I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. I never know where these like memes or these terms are born from. Anyway, back to John Cruz.
We're not on the internet. We're not in the discords.
That's right. This is why I on Trash Taste, I'm always out of my depth. They're always up to speed on these things, and I'm just like sitting in a room working out how to use a cinema camera.
Like, yeah, guys, I've been on Twitch myself, mate. Yeah, I've made some moves. Yeah, a really popular little broadcast I did last Friday in my pants. Yeah, great. Could have been a lot worse.
That'll be you when your Twitch career takes off. When you're not reading your credit card numbers.
Here's the deed to my house.
John Cruz continues. You guys have inspired me to finally plan a trip to Japan as soon as restrictions are much lighter. Though I have a bit of an anxiety about taking the wrong train or the wrong bus. And from the videos and photos I've seen of the train stations and their maps, it looks like something that can overwhelm me very easily. Any tips or suggestions for first-time travellers on how to navigate my way through? Warm regards, John Cruz. John, it's not really not that much of an issue. The only thing you really need is Google Maps. I won't lie, you know, I think without Google Maps, I would be dead by now. I'd be in a gutter somewhere in Shibuya. Because it is tricky working out from point A to B where the hell to go if you don't have, like, a phone with you. So as long as you've got a phone with Google Maps or Apple Maps, you will be all right. And I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think. Pete Donaldson, though, you're the man, the myth, the legend, the expert on this subject. What are your thoughts?
Whenever you go anywhere in life... And my dad taught me this at a very young age. One of the very few things my dad taught me that has actually seen me in good stead. 50 quid in your shoe. So make sure you've always got 50 quid in your shoe. And wherever you go in life, you'll be absolutely fine. I've been, you know, all over the gaff. And that's always seen me quite well. If you lose your phone, 50 quid will usually get you somewhere useful.
Is that just 50 British pounds, or is it 50 British pounds equivalent in the currency of your choice?
Yeah, it's probably best to choose the denomination that you're actually in, otherwise you'd be fucked, but yeah.
Bartering in Italy with a £50 note. It's almost like some people carry a cyanide pill. The Pete Donaldson dynasty, they carry money in their shoes.
Yeah, that's peril.
It's a good thing, though. I mean, like, some of the ATMs do close at night. You know, some of the ATMs closed. Japan's very much a cash-based society. Good to carry money on you at all times. I don't know how I feel about putting my wealth in my shoe, but it served Pete Donaldson well, so it must be good. We got one here from James in Ireland, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Quick, irrelevant question for you guys." Brilliant, James. You've really set that one up nicely. "Chris, do you think you'll ever live in another country aside from England and Japan? If so, where? Pete, if you could move to any country in the world, where would it be? Thank you for all the work you guys do, and a shout-out to Natsuki and Joey, the JAJ crew." James in Ireland. I really, you know, I do want to live in a different country every now and then. Spain. It's got to be Spain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somewhere hot, somewhere on a beach. I spent a lot of my childhood years in Spain. I loved it. It was a magical time. And I keep, actually, just earlier this afternoon, I have these days where I just sit and I go on Google Maps and I do Street View. And I did that in Spain. And I thought, fuck, I wish I was there right now.
I guess nothing's going to move until February. I mean, because you couldn't even go to Spain, could you? It's not even about the place that you're going to; it's the place that you come back to, which is Japan.
It's just
never mind.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Where it's just not worth it. You don't realise how much you miss something until it's gone, and I feel like that big time about travel. This year, though, I am going to like take off a month sometime this year. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why, I don't know where, but I'm going to go to Spain. That's it, go to Spain.
Just don't go to Spain.
Where are you going to live? Where are you going to move to, Pete? What are you going to do?
I don't know, I'm enjoying life in Leon Sea. I'm enjoying the beaches, I'm enjoying Essex. It's fun.
Essex, trying to describe Essex to a Japanese person. It's like, what is Essex? There's a place in the UK where rules don't matter. We call this place Essex.
It's the
and
they're
east. Like, yeah, Essex. I don't even know how you pronounce Essex in Japanese.
Essexu.
Essex.
Surely? Essexu. Essexu?
Essexu. That's a tough one, isn't it? Essex.
Yeah.
Essexu. That's it, isn't it? Essexu. That's where Pete would move to, even though he's already there. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back, guys. Do it over again later in the week. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again when I'm a little bit more awake and not tired after going to bed at 4 a.m. Right back on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.